Hey, this is Sergeant Bowman again. You know, ways back, this would have been about October of 1903. That's when I got the news. It was news I wasn't expecting to hear. Sometimes that can be good and sometimes that can be bad. But the timing was funny because, you see, soldiers are only in Yosemite. And it don't matter if we're talking colored soldiers or white soldiers, but colored soldiers are only in Yosemite during the summertime, from when the snow starts to melt to when it starts to fall again, about May through October. And this is October I'm talking about, October 1903. And I was back at Camp A.E. Wood, and we all getting ready. I mean, Troop K, Troop L, all getting ready to ride back to the Presidio of San Francisco. And from that point on, had no idea where we were going to go and what was going to happen to us, what was going to happen to me. You know, there's always that sense of loss when you're a soldier. You get these attachments to the men around you, and they become as close or closer than your own family because, you know, your life is in their hands and their life is in yours, and that makes them your brother. And so I got me another family when I joined the cavalry. And so we all thinking together, we're going to be leaving together, riding out together, getting to San Francisco together. And whatever the next day may bring, you're going to face it together. And when you face it together, that gives you resolve, that gives you strength, that gives you courage, because you all together, you a family, you cavalry, you Troop K, you Troop L. And so when the lieutenant pulled me over to one side on that morning, that particular morning, I was a little bit nervous about what he wanted. This is Lieutenant Resnick. And he told me that I was going to be on what is called detached service. And I felt something just drop beneath me right inside my gut because I didn't know what he was going to say next. And I said, well, sir, what does that mean? What do you want me to do? He said, there's the guardian. I said, what's that? He said, the guardian, Mr. George Harlow, of Yosemite Valley. He requested if he could have a soldier who could help him with his duties in Yosemite Valley. And I think I told you folks that, the valley itself in the Mariposa Grove don't belong to the national park. It's part of the state of California. And Mr. Harlow worked for the state of California. So he requested a soldier to help him during the winter. And the lieutenant looked at me and says, well, you the man I'm thinking be good for this duty. You know, when a lieutenant asks you to do something, when an officer asks you to do something, you have several choices. The thought I had in my own mind was this choice, saying, I'm sorry, sir. You know, I appreciate this request and I'd like to oblige you. But you see, there's this really nice woman I met when we were in San Francisco after we got off that Logan and we were garrisoned at the Presidio. I met this really nice woman and she misses me. She misses me dearly. And to be honest with you, sir, I miss her too. So I've been looking forward to the ride back. Those 14 days, I figure, are going to fly like they nothing at all because I'm going to see that woman again. So I'd like to oblige you. I'd like to stay here and help Mr. Harlow, but you see, I can't do that because I want to get back to San Francisco and meet up with her. So I'm basically saying, no, I can't do that. Now, that's what I was thinking. But if I had said those words, that's called, possibly getting court-martialed, disobeying a direct order, and potentially leaving the United States Army. But that's what I wanted to say. But instead, I knew the military, the Army, had become my life. It was more than $13 a month. It was more than having the company of the men around me and having command, being a sergeant. It was more than all of that. It had become part of me. It was in my blood. So as a sergeant, I had to respond, not as a man, not as a human being. So the part of me that was a sergeant, that was the strongest part, looked at him and said, well, thank you, sir. I know it wasn't an easy decision, but, you know, you could have picked another man for this particular assignment, but you picked me. So I'm all right with that. You know, it won't bother me seeing everyone ride on off out of here, ride out and looking as pretty as you will be on columns of two riding out of Yosemite. That ain't going to bother me, because I'm thinking I'm doing what the lieutenant wanted. I'm sticking behind here, and I'm going to stay with that, what's his name? Harlow, that's right. I'm going to stay with Mr. Harlow, and I'll make certain that what needs to get done gets done. So I'll be all right. You get on back to San Francisco. It's a pretty city, but I'll be all right here in the winter when the snow is falling and filling up ravine and gully and canyon. I'll be all right here. It'll be cold, but I'll be warm enough because I know that I did my duty. Yeah, I'm fine with that, sir. Thank you for the opportunity to stay behind here in Yosemite all winter long. Well, he got what I was saying, and he understood that something else was going on, but all he did was just smile at me, gave me a salute. I saluted back, and then next day, I rode to Yosemite. But you see, I had never been to Yosemite Valley before. And Yosemite Valley, in the minds of many people, is Yosemite. And I didn't quite understand that before I rode into the valley, because I'd only seen it off at a distance up from that area called Glacier Point. I'd seen it a little bit from there, and it was pretty from up there, but being away from it, being above it, ain't the same thing as being in it. And when I rode into Yosemite Valley, down the Wawona Road, with Bride of the Fall off to one side, and I'm going deeper and getting deeper into it, and there's El Capitan, and I'm fully seeing it now, off to one side, biggest piece of rock I ever have seen in my life. When I saw that and felt it rising up as I was going down, it was all getting bigger and higher, rising up around me, and the shadows were as black as night, and I'm riding into the warmth of that space, and it felt like an embrace to be in that place, in that space, and I realized that there is something in this world that is so much bigger than you are, and yet you're part of it. That's what it felt like. I didn't feel like I was diminished to nothing. I was still there, a speck of something, a bit of fire, God himself, a little bit of God in all of us. And I felt it was still there, burning in me, but it felt like it was almost nothing in that space, in those shadows. And I looked up and I saw Ribbon Fall to one side and Bridalveil to the other. And El Capitan right there in the sun. And I just started riding into that green, cool space. And I never felt anything like that. You know, from time to time when I was a boy in South Carolina, I wondered what it would be like to ride a mule into church. Never had the thought at the time, but that's what it felt like. I was riding a mule, because that's what I was riding at the time. And that mule, named Satan. We were riding into church, into a cathedral, into God's country. But it wasn't up high. It was now down low, right here. God everywhere. God not just up on the mountaintop. God here in the deepest places of the world itself. And that's what it felt like, riding into Yosemite, that I was riding my mule into a cathedral. And that's the best way to describe it. But it was a cathedral that was alive, whose the ground of it was green with grass and rock, and the sides were gray and white. I mean, there's sparkles coming out of the rock. I didn't know what it was, but the sun would hit it just right. You could see it shining. And there was a calm breeze, and those oak trees and the shade of them when you went under it was like another waterfall, but of darkness itself, cooling you at the neck and the shoulders and on your face, and the wind would pick up and take that sweat right off your brow. Oh, I thought I had passed over entirely into that better world. And I remember thinking at the time, because remember, when I was coming down that old road, I was still a bit upset about not seeing my friend back in San Francisco. But I forgot I forgot mostly about her when I rode down that road into Yosemite, because it was then that Yosemite Valley, it got into me. And I I was standing or sitting a little bit taller in the saddle. When I felt that, when I saw what was around me, I realized how lucky I was. I stopped feeling alone. I stopped feeling abandoned. I realized, this was all good. This was all good. And that's Yosemite Valley. And, you know, there ain't nothing like it. Ain't no place like it. But it's not just a place. It's something that's within you after a bit. And that valley became who I am and who I may one day be. It was future, it was the present, and it was the past. And all of it was flowing within each other and became everything. You ain't been there. You got to get there. It's something. I tell you that. Yosemite Valley is something else.